smart talk all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning. It's Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Now, I got word from C.A. Newry that he found my goat. He found my goat, and the goat's name is Curry. That's what he found on the form. And he's currently talking to the goat about relocating to New Providence. And Mr. Newry has sent for me again. So I love community. He said, man, I'm leaving you alone. I can send someone for you. We missed Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III's regular segment on Tuesday. I said, we got to do it today. And today we've got sort of two topics that I think sort of blend together. Of course, this is the eve of Labor Day. And so I'd love to interrogate or to, not even, let me rephrase that. I'd love to learn more about the Coptic Church's perspective on labor, the workforce, organized labor, and the scripture that render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's, right? Because I think in there is the question of why we do what we do, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then a focus on African womanism and the Coptic Church's perspective on women and girls, their role. Now, I want to say this. Initially, I want to say their role in the church, right? But as you delve deeper into the Coptic Church's practice, then you realize that for them, religion cannot be removed, right? Culture can't be removed from religion, and religion can't be removed from culture. They are inherently entwined. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity to get a different perspective,
right?
On how these people think women, how they see women, how they view women, and how do women view themselves, what roles are they given and what roles are they drawn to? And how does the cultural practice of the Coptic Church regard and treat women mm-hmm. within mm-hmm. that space?
So definitely, I'm excited for today's show. Again, for those who may not know me, my name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church here in the Bahamas, and we're under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Coptic Pope, our Barsesh Harohotep Tar, also known as Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. It's always a pleasure to come on this show. And my brother C.A. Nuri, he playing Christopher Columbus down there in
yes, he heralded the designation of Nuri-born.
Nuri-born, Nuri Beach. So he having fun down there. And definitely miss him today. But in any event, with regard to this idea, let me contextualize the conversation in this way, right? We are ultimately each week sharing what we're sharing because we understand that our society is sick, all right? One of the main things that indicates, one of the main symptoms that indicates that our society is sick is the state of our communities, or in some cases, lack thereof, mm-hmm. right? We still have some communities that are doing their best to hold on, right? But generally speaking, when you talk to people from our generation and definitely the generations before, the community is very much lacking. I was talking to two young mothers yesterday, and we were talking about this reality of needing a community to raise the children. They are very young babies, and I was saying to them, listen, whatever y'all ever need, you know, call me. All I can tell you is I can help or I can't help. Mm-hmm. You understand? But I say a lot to say that when we talk about this idea, let me jump on the fact that Labor Day is tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Within the Holy Coptic Church, we live by our mantra is Rel Cell Web. Rel Cell Web is religion, economics, labor, sex gender is one, education, law, war security is one, entertainment and politics. These 9 levels of people activity. So everything about what we do is not just sit home, read the Bible, talk about the Bible, right? Our religion dictates our economy because our economy is ultimately going to be based on our needs. It's going to be based on what it is we as a community see as viable commodities. What is it that we're going to buy? How do we eat, et cetera, et cetera. In understanding that, any wise community, and you see this amongst other races of people, whether it's the Chinese or the Indians or even the Europeans, when you see that your people need something, you create the means to provide for your people. When you are able to do that, then you benefit economically, right? Mm-hmm. In benefiting economically, you are able to then create a labor class because now the things that the community needs can be provided for by the community insofar as the community can now be offered opportunities whereby they either can have jobs or become entrepreneurs in this space to provide for the community. So Randall Fox was someone who definitely enshrined the idea of, hey, we got our labor. You understand? We may not have land. We may not have the kind of money that other people have, but we have our labor. Let us utilize our labor as a means to leverage any situation that comes against us or that comes towards us. And we've kind of done that through the unions. I think some of that has been abused, you know, but I think the principle and the essence of it still stands. So within the Holy Coptic Church, we're saying that every group of people have an economic model, mm-hmm. right? And we as Africans on the continent as well as in the diaspora, we too have models that we need to bring to the forefront. We quietly keep our ASUS, right? Mm-hmm. But ASUS are so powerful. Mm-hmm. You understand? I could personally attest to, and it's you women who, in large part, from my experience, I could be corrected, but I could tell you, my wife and I see other women in my sphere who keep ASU religiously. Mm-hmm. And it keeps the economy of the family intact, right? I see it happen, you know, in my church, at my work, and just in society in general, right? So the idea to kind of intertwine this reality of labor and kind of the function of women, right? In my experience and what we have seen, even looking at the history of us as a people, right, is this idea or understanding that the woman, when she is functioning in a communal role, is very powerful in that she can manage the resources of the community, right? Mm-hmm. She has more to lose if those resources are not managed, because she's the one bearing the children, right? She is the one, which is why we know women domesticated plants, for example. Mm-hmm. She can't be going out there hunting every day. Someone got to watch these children. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? We men, yes, we can go out. We can bring back meat, but we know produce is at home, or, you know, eggs are at home, chickens are at home. And that is how we worked. We got these examples ideally from this this family known as, or this couple known as Asaru and Aset. This is important for us to know as African people in the diaspora, because this idea of a black Madonna, right, and child comes out of this history of Asaru, or who the Greeks call Osiris. You see this even biblically by way of this very first book of the Bible, right, being referenced as Genesis, which when you look at it as a word, they'll say it means the beginning. But as a word, you see Genesis, right? And then in Genesis 3:15, it talks about this enmity between the serpent and the woman's serpent seed and the woman's seed. We talked about this maybe last week or week before, right? Mm-hmm. But this woman has a very, very integral role in the community, right? And when we appreciate that, then we can function as a family, which is what Dr. Clonora Hudson-Williams, all right, for those who maybe have never heard of Dr. Clonora Hudson-Williams, she introduced this idea of Africana womanism, right? Mm-hmm. Africana womanism. And it's something that we were introduced to in the Holy Coptic Church by way of an actual series that was done called Pieces of the Puzzle. And we may do it again. But just quickly, what she was introducing was the idea that our fight for liberation must include both the men and the women, mm-hmm. as opposed to adopting ideas of feminism, etc., that come outside of our culture. Right. Go ahead.
I would say, what I found yeah. interesting is the difference between women's rights advocacy in Anglo-speaking countries right. and women's rights advocacy in Latin and Spanish, Latin, mm. and primarily Spanish-speaking, because Latin also includes French.
Mm.
There's always the signaling of the balance and the inclusion. Mm. It's always the Spanish for comrades men and Spanish for comrades women.
Mm. Always. Okay. Powerful.
Always together.
Yeah.
And the English construction of language is different, and thus highlights the different thinking,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, even the idea that when you for those of us who took Spanish and you learn that there are feminine words and masculine words, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't learn that in English.
Yeah.
You had an idea, right, that there were words that have a more feminine or more masculine interpretation. But in Spanish or these languages that are specifically saying to you, no, this construction of this word, that's feminine. Mm-hmm. Construction of this word, that's masculine. It is driving the thought process of a community to understand that, hey, we as men and women have to work together to communicate, right? So all of this is important, and I kind of want to bring it into the sphere of what we see every day, right? You scroll through social media, and there just seems to be like a gender war going on, right?
Complete. And let me say, from my perspective,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do men and women actually like each other?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But I also, after years of observation, we'd be looking on our phones for reasons, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels contrived.
Mm.
Because when you take people, when you take these conversations out of this public space, like on the internet,
right,
then there's a softness, mm. right? The walls drop, and there's no, and so, it looks like it's contrived.
Yeah.
Somebody is attempting to create this with the enmity between
the female and the serpent seed. That's a good observation. Especially in the wake of Kevin Samuels, right? Who really, and an Andrew Tate, you know, mm-hmm. these type of conversations that are very provocative, right? But we cannot, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the predecessors of a Kevin Samuel. Her name is just right at the tip of my tongue. It'll come in a second.
Presley?
Well, her too,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Frances Creswellson.
Creswellson, yeah.
But there's another elder who was part of Nation of Islam who would be on Donahue back in the day. Her name will come to me in a second. Mm-hmm. But in any event, right, these conversations are very important because as a teacher, right, I'm watching how it's affecting the next generation, right? This conversations that I would have with students, and some of them are obviously young, so marriage and family and children, and that ain't on everybody's mind, right? But the idea that some people would say, well, I just never want to be married. I never want to have children, right? I never want to be, a part, because it's almost like what I see online, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of that back and forth craziness.
And I just want to make this point that in 2024, our social practices have changed, where your young people are more exposed to situations, relationships, internet, than they are with their actual family members and community members. Mm. So we're children in particular, but we are observational learners, right?
Right.
Young people are absorbing more from social media and the internet than they are from the real lived experiences of the people around them.
Right.
Because we are now living our lives in a closed way.
Yeah.
Like, we was children, we went wherever our mommy went.
Right.
Whatever she had to do, we was doing it with her.
You just put all that cola, that scary tail, and you go.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you were able to observe a lot more of the wider world. Now kids are sort of stuck in a phone, which I understand because the rest of their life is absent. We adults, we're not filling that space for them.
Right. But it goes back to the first point. The society is sick.
Yeah.
I don't want my children out there playing. You all sit in the front room and play on your device because you all safer in here, depending on which neighborhood you may be in, right? The name of the lady is Shahrazad Ali. That's her name, right?
Right.
But this elder, Shahrazad Ali, you know, she started out her whole, mission of just trying to help people, first of all, get away from bad eating. And what she realized was that when she introduced information about pork, et cetera, that the women who were cooking for their husbands refused saying in terms of like, look, whatever I cook, that's what he can eat. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hold on. And she began to focus in or narrow in on the behavior of women. And she said, well, our women are out of control, right? And she went to war on Donna. You can go back and look at the clips on YouTube.
I remember the
clip. And Living Color even made fun of her. And all
right,
that.
I remember the clip now.
Yeah,
famous clip.
But I'm saying that to say that this idea of men and women being at odds, right, is another aspect of where the Holy Coptic Church comes in to provide the context of an actual society whereby we say, listen, we had people who worked together as family, and we were able to build not just strong communities, but strong empires, strong
legacies,
nations,
legacies
that lasted many, many thousands of years, you see? And so in our society today, as we see the social ills just piling up and almost at this point being conflated, whereby you don't even know where to start or where to end, we have to take a step back now and question why we do what we do, and what is the result of what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to, something just popped into my head, and I would say thank you to a text, Shahrazad Ali.
Yes, yes.
I grew up in the era of Orleans.
Mm.
My Grammy ain't never buy me one dress I like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything was age appropriate.
Mm.
My body wasn't age appropriate.
Right.
My body, right? I look older than I was, them dress bring you right back to how old I was.
Right, right.
And
strategically so.
Exactly.
Right.
Strategically so. You don't look like no grown woman.
Right. Right.
You're only 13, you're only 14, you're only 15.
Right. You can tell them we didn't know because how she was dressed. None of that.
Something has shifted drastically.
Yeah.
To the point where you could now find children in absolutely inappropriate clothing. Children in shorts that say sexy on the back.
Right.
And message like what you say, like drawing attention to the derriere.
Right.
I think that those things can be problematic in a community sense for adults.
Right.
Imagine now children wearing them. I noticed that a lot of the clothing that kids are wearing are parents are dressing their kids in adult styles for kids.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, problematic at some level.
Right.
I tell people, look here, why are you buying brand new clothes for your kids to run around in the day in the summer? Go find you a thrift store.
Yeah.
And you get
some family to hand me down. You
right.
know? Yeah.
You get the new things for the events, the occasions. Yeah. There's a birthday party, Grammy 90th. You got to look fresh. But for running around everyday kind of thing,
right?
Let these kids thrift. And that's more money for the household.
Right, right. I agree. But again, that is the importance of the feminine energy in the family, right? Not to say that men don't think that way, right? Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, right, when we look at the examples of how we thrived, right, both men and women had the overall concern of the well-being of the family, but we understood that we have the same status but different roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of this ultimately came about because of we had in our way of life a rite of passage, right? Mm-hmm. So again, within the Holy Coptic Church, we have our coming of age ceremonies, similar for those who may not understand to the Jewish community. They have their bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, etc.
Yeah,
right?
Bat for girl, bar for boy.
Correct, right? But you become a child of the law. You become a child of the community.
Mm-hmm.
You must express, and all of our children who've come of age, they have to stand in front of the community and commit to working towards the ideals of the community publicly, which mm-hmm. means now you have a community that is holding you accountable, you understand, whereby you said this X, Y, Z. We didn't make you say it, you understand? Now, some people would say, yeah, but what else are they supposed to do if their children in a household and they're being forced to go to church.
The same way that a lot of Christian children are forced to go to church.
Come on. And what has happened is this process of a rites of passage has been hijacked the Greco-Roman institutions, whereby we commit our ideals of the Greco-Roman church of the community or what is needed by the community. We have a mindset that says, as long as I feel as I'm good with God, then I ain't got to worry about my community. I go into heaven.
I call it, there's this beautiful, I mean, and it says beautiful because all creation is beautiful, but to watch it come together, I think what we have begun to practice in the Bahamas is a blend of, Jesus Christ is my
right.
Lord and Savior, boss, not yours.
Right.
Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. Mixed with a gospel theology that renders one to say, I got the blessings because he's my Lord and Savior. Mm. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with him or what your God is.
Right.
But and often in instances where you lost so I could win.
Right. Right.
And we respond to it with no, that's...
Or you lost, so therefore you must not be as in tune with as I am.
Right.
You understand? You could hear about a plane crashing and some people died and some people made it. And it's like, well, those people who didn't make it, wow, they must be wasn't good with God.
Mm-hmm. I write in a play in hopes of the spot, come back to me.
We got to make it happen.
Yeah, the young people, them doing it. And it's a part of the conversation, right? Community, generational structures. But I write in a play about a boy who was with Jesus the day that God died.
Wow.
He's just like, I don't understand why you're trying to talk to my boy. Give us a moment.
Mm.
It's my boy.
Mm.
I was with him when God died. Y'all wasn't with him.
Wow.
Right? I think
that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah,
but I have a text here for you, right? The text says, did your guest just say men and women have the same status? That's against the word of God because the man, in capitals, is the head of the home. They say that's blasphemy, sir. If you could reiterate what you asked earlier.
So a lot of the ideas of the man being the head by himself was introduced by Paul. The very first indication of the status of men and women came in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, where male and female, he created them and called their name Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was not the name of a man. Adam was the name of a tribe. And the men and the women of that tribe, if you go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about male and female. When he says male and female, that's not the words that were actually there. The word for male is the word zakar. He would have been the head of the men in that community, or the best, or the one with the best memory. Why would he need a memory? Because he had to remember the laws. He had to remember the examples in order to guide the community. Mm-hmm. The women, this word for female, was the word Nekeba, right? And that title, Nekeba, can be translated as a lady of the rib, they would say. Not that she came from a rib, but that there was actual gene splicing going on at this time, gene Isis, mm-hmm. right? But this Nekeba can also be translated as a tribal leader, right? So the women were the tribal leaders, but the men were the tribal rulers. This is seen in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, where we are guided to always admonish or be aware of the law of our mother and the actual speech of our fathers, whereby they are constantly at working together as the head within the home, within the community. You understand?
The mother sets the law, the father enforces it, he speaks it, he explains it to you.
It's not that she sets it as much as she's in tune with
what it should
the
be.
Law, the universal laws.
Yeah.
This is a feminine planet. It is mostly water. You understand? Water represents is a feminine aspect.
She understands why we do this thing at this time of the day in this
place.
She's
in tune.
It's become law.
She has what is called a sixth sense. You understand? She's more in tune with this environment. So,
hold on, gentlemen. That's how she know. That's how she know you ain't spend the money where you say you was gonna spend it. That's how she know you wasn't where you was supposed to be when you say you was there.
Right.
And children, that's how she know too.
So this is what it says in Proverbs 1 mm-hmm. and 8. My son, hear, this is a mother speaking to her son. My son, and hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So there was an instruction being given and there was a law that was in place. Mm-hmm. We still see that today. When your daddy come home, I can explain to him, y'all wasn't following the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So it wasn't that one was more important than the other, but without the working of the male and the female in the home working together, chaos ensues.
Mm-hmm.
Or disorder first ensues. And then you ultimately move into a chaotic society, which is what we're seeing today.
Is it fair to say that the Ma'afa
mm-hmm.
has disrupted some of those practices, but in the sense that, yes, men and women work together,
mm-hmm.
but conditions of the Ma'afa cause men to say, no, look here, we may have to put you behind us for a moment to protect you. And has that been misinterpreted in modern times?
Yeah. The idea of the front of the war being the front of the family, that's a European concept. We were out there protecting the front lines so it would not spill into our communities, yeah. right? What's funny about that the comment made in the text, right? And I'm not speaking directly to the text. I'm just saying as a nation. Before Queen Elizabeth died, we had a woman at the helm of the British.
And as far as she's concerned, it's the whole planet.
Yeah. Not only that, is that Parliament Square on the side where the actual Parliament is? Where
yeah, Queen Parliament.
Queen Victoria, the biggest statue we got sitting up around here, or one of the biggest, is a woman sitting on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, she's not an African woman. I don't think the statue should be there, but that's a whole nother show. But I'm simply saying we have selective blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because that statue should be blasphemous. If indeed...
Women should not lead.
Come on. She have a sword. She's sitting there on the backs of two lions, if you go and look at the statue.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So the lions, who are ultimately indicative of these African tribes, this reality of the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, is what's actually keeping that throne up. You understand? And you can go and look at it for those people who care, right? I think it's important that we investigate or interrogate any comment that tries to belittle the very vessel that all of us came out of. Mm-hmm. This idea that a woman is just a weaker vessel. This idea that a woman is just going to follow foot for foot. Even the women who say that, they don't believe that. Mm-hmm. They don't follow foot for foot behind no man. They'll tell you they don't need no man. They got Jesus. You understand? So we got to get to the point where we get back to reality. You understand? And we can find the scriptures to actually verify what we're saying. At the very beginning, the man and the woman were made together. Mm-hmm. You understand? By the time you get to Genesis 2, and there's a male in the garden by himself, that's a different story. That's what they're not understanding. That Cadman, all right, and this word Cadman can be seen in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Word Cadman means Easterner. He was 3 years older than the Nekeba that came in. Mm-hmm. He, in other words, started the university before her. Mm-hmm. And in his time at the university, they recognized, hey, this group of young men don't have the same interaction with women as the other classmen. So now they're seen as lonely. So it's not good for them to be alone. Let's make sure we bring the females now to be oriented into the space. And that's when the chaos ensues, because you have this serpent, humanoid serpent, who comes in and he goes after the woman. Mm-hmm. And make sure that the woman, once the woman was corrupted, that particular class got kicked out. God, hey, you, the woman, the serpent, all y'all get out. But he went after the woman. Well, he didn't have to come. If he came to us, we already know. Hey, man, we don't know your angle, bro. Mm-hmm. You understand? We don't know what you're dealing with, bro. But the word Eve is another part of the word naive. And as a fresh woman, or as a freshman, they would say, coming into that space, she didn't realize that, hey, you got some people out there who don't mean you well. Mm-hmm. You understand? We took that story and we made that the actual story on how to raise a family in totality. You understand? And so I'll leave with that. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I've got a bunch of questions from another texter. The texter said, how come black women are the only category of women on the planet that the marriage numbers are very low? Why is it that black women aren't getting married at the same rate as women from other races are getting married?
I think in large part because you have an image that is being projected as beautiful. That is not the black woman. So if you go around our country today, you have what are called beauty supply stores. Mm-hmm. That's blasphemous, right? When you run out of gas, you go to the gas station.
When you run out of beauty, which
you run out of food, you go to the food store. You run out of beauty. How does a black woman run out of beauty? The only way she can run out of beauty is if she's trying to keep up with a standard of beauty that's not hers. That's just one aspect, mm-hmm. right?
Yesterday I saw mm-hmm. a cover from, it's either Jet, Ebony, or Essence. Mm-hmm. And 5 beautiful, light-skinned black women mm-hmm. on the cover. Mm-hmm. And the caption is, are black women getting prettier?
See?
I was just like,
you're bleaching our women to make them so quote-unquote prettier. So that's just the physical aspect, right?
Yeah.
What Clenora Hudson Weems is saying as Africana womanism is that the black woman, when we juxtapose or put side by side this idea of how women are going to ultimately get themselves in order, right? Mm-hmm. And the white woman introduced feminism, right? They see their man as the enemy. They see their man as keeping them down. Black men don't have the institutional power that white men have mm-hmm. to keep black women down, right? So the idea of feminism working for black women in the eyes of a Dr. Clenora Hudson Weems, that doesn't work. So what she's saying is, and I'm answering the question, I'm just coming around the long way, right? The idea of a African woman or black woman trying to compete or put herself in a position as a white woman doesn't serve us, right? So let's look at the institution of marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And how black women may not be as, the text says they're not getting married as much mm-hmm. as other women, right? When we look at the goals of marriage in society today, this idea of marriage being a business contract, marriage being this institution of roping in a man to mm-hmm. make sure. I'm just speaking from a female perspective, and I don't know.
Some female right? voices.
Right. Yeah. And I know there's an aspect for men too, right? I'm yeah. not forgetting that point. But the reason why we're not having the success within this institution is because that institution wasn't built for us. Point blank, just wasn't built for that form of marriage. That the word marriage, it means to mar. Over age, over time, two people come together and hurt each other.
Listen,
that's not the binding of the two flesh, as mentioned in Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. That's not what's going on. So we got to look at why we're doing what doesn't work for us.
We get back to that. Let's go to this caller for a second. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I wish to congratulate you on this discussion.
Thank you.
My name is Italia Johnson.
Wow.
And,
good morning.
I'm delighted to have caught you in passing.
Yes, ma'am.
What I want to bring to the clear attention of us as a Bahamian people. Look at the placement, the priority, and the attention that the statue of Queen Victoria achieved. In the documentary of this country, in the writing and the placement of that, mm-hmm. and you have a statue at the entrance of the port of Nassau in honor of the black Bahamian woman, her contribution mm-hmm. to society, and her severe commitment to the upbringing of her children.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Our importance is looking more like the white people, acting like the white people, and disrespecting our own. When you do not think that you are as important as the European, you keep the textbooks which you keep, and you teach your children from those textbooks, and you have not bothered after 50 years of independence to write your own history book, to put it in your own educational system so your own people will respect themselves.
Yes.
Now, when we have the breath and the strength and the temerity to discuss the statue of the black woman
mm-hmm.
at the entrance of the harbor that every tourist sees when they come into this country,
yes.
and the children in the educational system do not even know it exists, then we can talk. Other than that, could we just shut this down, please?
And I'm so happy she brought that up.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
I am one of the few people who have actually written about that statue, actually wanted to bring attention to that statue. Not only the one there at the port, the one over at NHI, was it
NIB on Blue Hill Road.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that, because my question was, we don't know their names. We don't know their story.
Because we do not wish
And so
it is not a part of the budget. We do not see ourselves as an intellectually developing people, you know. We see ourselves as working for the tourists.
Thank you.
And dancing for the tourists.
Wow.
And everything for the tourists.
Right.
So how can you be a whole person when you do not respect yourself?
Wow.
You don't even know your Bible. You're talking all kind of rock-a-tack all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Would we please stop?
Yeah.
And take a breath. That God has made us divine, majestic people.
Amen.
So you can't take it upon yourself to change my payroll date and to tell me what I could do. And you going around the world and you talking about raising the road tax, man. All of the roads are nothing but a bunch of mines.
Thank you.
Fields and the people, cars are being destroyed. And no, man, you out of your head. And you are not doing your job. So therefore, you deserve to be summarily dismissed in all categories.
Mm.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, appreciate that call.
Thank you very much. And on the eve of Labor Day.
Yeah.
For what is what are we working for?
Yeah.
If not for ourselves in the future, right? For
yes.
this generation
yes.
of our
yes.
descendants.
Yes.
What are we working for? We have to go to a break. When we get back from the break, a little housekeeping. And then I want to send a message out to Bobo Tino.
Mm.
When you're making your next music video, make it in front of one of these statues, man.
Mm.
Change up the theme a little bit.
Because
the young people watching you, buddy.
Yes.
Young people watching you.
Yes.
We'll be right back here on Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri.
Impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, Kahun
Ankusara
has joined us this morning. Just as we went to the break, I sent out a message to Bobo Tino. I don't know if he's listening, but if you know Bobo Tino, tell Bobo Tino, the children watching, the little girl made a whole spoof video of your song, Knocking on the Door. Then we got Bahamian Tree.
Yeah.
And Muggle Like Me has become a global viral sensation, right? There's a little politics involved. TikTok, say they banning it in the being banned in the U.S. Universal Music Group say you can't play any of my music on TikTok, which opened up the space for good music to be found and used. People searching for stuff now, right? So that's one side of it. The other side of it is the section of the song they use, Spotted Light Skin and Leopard Print Pant, that has caused a wave, right?
Mm-hmm.
The song has become an anthem for light-skinned women in communities where there's a lot of tension.
Yeah.
Right? And so now here's a positive, it's a song about us. And it's not dissing anybody else either, right? It's not big. These two young people, they exist. They here. It's not.
Right.
They doing what they do, right?
Right.
Muggle Like Me has become a viral sensation locally with children wanting to do it. When the older brother, this is the best one, when the parent or the older sibling is doing it and the child realize what's happening, you can't stop the children from getting in the video.
Right.
And they know the dance, and when they don't know it, they're looking at you and they're learning it.
Right, right, right.
These are the spaces within which we can begin to entrench rites of passage for young people and shift the culture. I see we got a caller.
Sure.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, my name is Foxy. How you doing?
Good, good. How you do? Turn your radio down for me.
Yeah, good, sure.
Thank you.
Ask me if you can make a song about lionfish. Can you stop eating lionfish?
Yeah. And I can tell him right now, they lying like these girls. We got like that. Right?
And also, when are you going to do that celebrity boxing match in the Mississippi?
Oh, no, man. I don't see them. I don't see them fight again no more. I don't see, no. I know that I graduated to another sort of element, right? Another generation of the society.
Yeah.
When I saw that, and then I didn't. It was too much drama.
Like, I accept I owe it.
Yeah.
I for that.
In fact, thank you for bringing that up. Important mango notice.
Yeah, have a good day now.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
My respect.
This is an important mango notice. The heat is affecting the mangoes.
Mm.
I have now had like 2-3 weeks of mangoes, and what I found is that the mangoes are ripening from the seed out. So you can touch a mango on your tree and it's firm. You'll even think it's green.
Mm.
But on the inside, now, this is due to a couple of reasons. One, I'm certain, is the heat. It's like the mango, the water source is cooking the mango from the inside out. But it's also due to a lack of nutrients right in the soil around the tree. And so, again, I admonish all my Bahamians and mango lovers. Even if you don't love mangoes, you have a duty to pick it and give it to someone who loves it. Check your trees early, continually check your trees. Don't let your mango get overripe. Also, because of a lack of rain, right? Because of a lack of rain, I feel like mangoes sticking on the tree. Right?
Okay.
So all of my mangoes are getting ripe. They're really high. And only the raccoons enjoying them. And I'm upset. Anyway, rites of passage, right?
Yeah,
One thing I think all Bahamian young people need to know is how to cook a pot of soup. Because understanding how to cook a pot of soup is also a part of understanding how to purchase food. How to grow it, how to purchase it, how to portion it out, how to feed plenty with little. In fact, this is the fish, the five and the two, the loaves and the fishes. Young people need to be taught this. They deserve this rite of passage.
Yeah, I mean, and so what we find is that there are people who are trying, right? Like Dr. Carlos Reed, he had the
Hope Center.
Well, the Hope Center, but the show that was on ZNS.
Oh, Scared Straight?
Scared Straight was...
Oh, no, is it like a teen zone?
Shock treatment.
Yeah,
right? But when I saw it, I say, wow, that's basically rites of passage, right? That's an element of the rites of passage.
These guys shouldn't have to do it in this format, but because we lack that in the general
society.
It's
a response to the lack of... Mm-hmm. I remember even when I was... Coming out, before I came out of high school, the late Sir Lyndon Penlin was talking about national service, the idea of national service.
Rite of passage.
That, again, is a response of not having a rite of passage. Because within a rite of passage, you're going to understand the discipline that the community expects of you. And most importantly, when you are done with the rites of passage, there's an accountability, because when you were going through that whole process, there were different people coming to talk to you. Before you had to see a judge in the courtroom, that judge was coming to speak to you on a Saturday afternoon with a mango and explain to you, hey, I'm a judge. You know what I mean? This is what I do. You know what I mean? I don't just care about you when you're in front of me as a defendant or a plaintiff. I care about you because I am Mr. So-and-so, or Dr. So-and-so, or whomever, who live over here. And if you ever have any issues, you can come and see me. You understand? I'm not just the person you hear about on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's community.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I know that there are people, the Gentlemen's Club and other great organizations that are, again, holding on to these tentacles of what used to be rites of passage, and grabbing as many as will work with them to the Indaba Project with Brother Ntumwa and Brother Ian, right? These are things that we need to put energy behind, because if you don't pay attention to this generation and the generations that are coming, you're going to end up, if you don't spend the money early, you're going to spend the money late.
And also acknowledge as small island developing states, right? Small peoples, we are subject to cultural imperialism.
Come on.
The dominant culture will consume you if you do not build up your culture.
Right.
Cousin Isaac's Cat Island Festival, he said, your culture is the antidote to any foreign culture.
That's right.
Hoping to infect you.
That's right.
And infuse you with what it is they want you to believe and to do.
You recognize a foreign idea immediately. Hey, we don't do that. Talk to Marimba Ani, so your culture is your immune system of the community. Same, same thing, right?
And one way to disrupt this is simply, as adults and parents, when you when your kids are consuming content, media, you have to be there with them. You don't have to stop them from doing it, but you disrupt cultural imperialism by, in every opportunity, saying, how do we do that in the Bahamas?
And my parents did that. I didn't know that's what they were doing, but some things I was allowed to watch, but then they was right on the side of me saying, you know if you do that, I can kill you, right?
Like,
you know you can't do that. You know that's stupid, right? Hey, you should be doing that. That makes sense. So you, because you didn't develop the filter yet.
Yeah.
You weren't just taking everything in. They were the filter that was standing with you or sitting with you and saying, okay, that makes sense. That don't make sense. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen to the music on the radio and some of these stations, and it's basically just porn. I can't even just say soft porn anymore.
No.
It's porn on the radio. And there's actually songs celebrating black men killing other black men or killing people in period.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are songs. I'm like, that ain't a song. That's an indictment. That's a spell you putting on this generation.
And then let's... I mean, we almost out of time, sir, and I got some text here because I was about to say, if we focus on the sort of female side of popular music and the images that are being promulgated, right? We don't forget the Tracy Chapman.
Yep.
Listen, Layla Hathaway has a recorded performance where she sang three different chords at the same time.
Wow.
I can't even listen to popular music anymore because how are you going to tell me that Beyonce is the best female or Taylor Swift is the best female vocalist when Layla Hathaway over there beating it up bad? Producer, let's go to this caller. I'm coming to you right now. You got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, your guests. Interesting show this morning, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
But what I wanted to say quickly was what we need to do, since we were talking about like the economic stuff and stuff, is sometimes we have individuals, local individuals, that we all identify and back them. You know what I mean? Whether or not we like them or not, we should support them based on the merit and the potential that they bring and the fits that they can help to the society. And that's what we need to start to do. We need to start to make sure that...
You're breaking up so much, cousin, but I got your point, right?
I agree.
When we identify people in society that are doing the right thing,
and support them.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are many ways we could support them. Text says, why would the scripture distinguish between husbands and wives? Because they're different.
Yeah.
That's all.
We can do that next week.
Yeah. I mean, let Mr. Enius III look at the text so he could gather any interesting talking points for the next week's conversation when Mr. Newry returns, the newly crowned king of Long Island. With my goat. Better bring my goat. You guys, have a great day. Labor Day is coming up tomorrow. And to my HHT family, see you at Hibiscus Wash House, Hibiscus Road and Farrington Road, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. You guys, have a great holiday weekend.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.